You're listening to Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hello and welcome to Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. I'm John, I'll be your host tonight, but I've also got a couple of guys with me who are going to be taking us all through this fabulous journey. Thank you again for tuning in. And rather than do those awkward introductions that you can sometime hear the first couple weeks, we've prepared a little something for you.
Kevin Hovdestad, age 28, Canada. With video game experience spanning over 20 years, Kevin's expertise in video games is top tier. Kevin has played in the Warcraft 3 qualifiers, has rated in guilds ranked in the top 25 US, and has peaked at rank 2 in Hearthstone this far. Outside of video games, Kevin volunteers with animal shelters, enjoys dancing, participates in outdoor sports, and is an avid follower of all esports. As a Canadian national champion in debate and public speaking, Kevin looks to bring insight wherever he goes. You can find Kevin on Twitch at twitch.tv/OdinTV and on Twitter at Lack of Realism. J.R. Cook, age 35, Kansas City. Founder of BlizzPro.com, with video game experience spanning over two decades, JR has turned his passions towards creating a community for gamers. JR has reached rank one on the ladder, hosted many fireside gatherings, and has defeated big names in online tournaments. Before Hearthstone, JR played Magic the Gathering competitively for 15 years with many local tournament wins, and one win away from qualifying for Nationals in 2009. You can find JR on Twitch at twitch.tv/BlizzPro and on Twitter at Eldorian. John Horseman, age 25, Denver. Starting his gaming career with Halo 2, John has always sought to play video games competitively. On his resume is World Top 25 Shadow Priest in World of Warcraft Cataclysm. John also placed highly in multiple Halo tournaments throughout the country. On the latter, John has had multiple rank 1 finishes. Outside of playing video games, John spends much of his time reading and writing about technology, watching video game streams and tournaments, and creating and editing audio media. You can find John streaming at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. His gaming Twitter, at Kicked Tripod, and his personal Twitter, at Jay Horstman.
We did it. We made it. Weeks of planning have come to be, and here we are, boys. It was a month ago, over a month, wasn't it? Where we sat down and first had, well, I think I said in a video or audio thing, but let's talk about it. Kevin, JR, how did this podcast come to be?
Well, HearthPro Show was a very good podcast from the beginning of our... I can't even remember. I think it started even before we had a Hearthstone site on BlizzPro. And it was a very popular Hearthstone podcast. And of course, Mark, who was the host, wasn't really able to do it anymore. So rather than continuing on, they felt they need to stop doing it. That was a few months back, and I've kept getting questions about, hey, I really miss the HearthPro show. Are you guys going to put out another Hearthstone-related podcast anytime soon? And finally, I'm like, you know, we need to do that. So we did. And this is it.
Yeah, it was super, super hard for me to watch the HearthPro show go, not because it hadn't done a great job and wasn't a phenomenal piece of work, but more because after months, years, if you want to look at it that way, of all the people who had been a part of the show working so hard to make it what it was, it between Mark and Steven and I, there was so much passion for all things Blizzard, and it pulled people in too many different directions. There's too many competing priorities. There was no way that we as a group could make it go forward the way that it was, and I never lost that spark. I wanted so badly to keep talking about the game, keep thinking about what we could do to help it grow, how we can give feedback to Blizzard on what we want to see from this, because frankly, it's still an experiment, and I want to pump their tires. I want to be in the background cheerleading, you know, helping the Hearthstone team make it even bigger and better than it already is.
Yep. And I reached out to Kevin a couple months ago, asking him if he wanted to continue on with something like this. And he's like, oh yeah, heck yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, well, we need at least one more person. And so that's when we put out auditions and found you, John.
Woohoo. Well, I didn't think I would get it. And I remember it was really funny because you're like, yeah, we're going to get back to you in about a week. And it was 10 days, 12 days, 14 days. And I was telling my girlfriend, I'm like, oh no, I think I just embarrassed myself with my interview. And I can't believe we're here now. This is so awesome. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit more. Clearly with anything worth doing, there's a goal. What's our goal here? I mean, for me personally, I just want, you know, to get in people's ear holes, but not in a weird way. And, you know, give them something that they enjoy listening to. I mean, I love listening to watching Hearthstone. It's my favorite thing to do throughout the week. I want to just put out something great that people would want to listen to, and that hopefully, you know, makes drives a little shorter. When I'm running on the treadmill, I need all the help I can get. And so, you know, that's what I'm here. What about you guys?
Well, I love this game. I love talking about this game. And there's a reason why, you know, our BlizzPro's Hearthstone site's our biggest site. Is that's where a lot of my labor of love goes into. So to be able, you know, that the big thing for me is I'm hoping that people enjoy it, people get something out of it. And for me personally, though, it's just it's what I enjoy doing and something I've been wanting to do. So it's really just about having fun for me, and hopefully people like it.
Awesome. Kevin, what about you?
You know, it's tough because I grew up playing Blizzard games, right? From age 6 onwards, I've got every game they've ever released in triplicate. I got a whole box full of this stuff. I eat it, I sleep it, I breathe it. And when they announced Hearthstone, I had did the same double take everybody else did, but I've grown to love it. I've grown to love everything about the team that's working on it. And the funny thing now is I remember going back like to my first BlizzCon in 07, and I showed up with all these things and I was really excited to get developer signatures and meet all the people that worked at the company. And today now, those people are my friends. And it's kind of awkward to walk up to your buddies and be like, hey, can I get your autograph? Like, it's just not the same thing anymore. So now I want to be a part of what's happening. I want to help them bring a new audience to this game. I want to help give constructive feedback on design decisions and ways to make it more palatable. I want to be a part of the conversation around how do we keep this game growing? How do we get it a bigger esport presence? How do we make this community the biggest, best thing it can be? And not just for this game, but for everything that Blizzard does. It just so happens that Hearthstone right now is the fastest growing, most explosive thing, and I think the most financially successful thing in terms of scale that Blizzard has ever done. So I'm right there. Like I said, I'm the cheerleader and I want to see this go all the way. I want to be playing this game when I'm 45.
There we go. Well, gentlemen, it's a pleasure. Thanks again for everyone who's listening. Now that you know what we're all about, let's go ahead and start talking some Hearthstone.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Well, we want to set the mood a little bit. The next expansion or adventure, whatever you want to call it, has been announced. It's going to be coming out shortly. So we prepared a little bit for you as well. Hopefully it gets you in the mood. Here we go.
Blackrock Mountain, a Hearthstone adventure.
Deep under Blackrock Mountain, near smoldering rivers of slowly flowing lava, lies the cavernous sprawl of Blackrock Depths. Home to the fire-resistant Dark Iron Dwarves and their host of stone-hewn golems and blazing elementals, these hardy folk have carved out an empire for themselves from the mountain, ultimately aiming to claim all of Blackrock for themselves. Whether they're tending the piping hot forges or enjoying a good old-fashioned tavern brawl at the Grim Guzzler, the denizens of Blackrock Depths are a force to be reckoned with. Tempered in the heat of the mountain, the Dark Iron Dwarves will stop at nothing to destroy those who control the upper reaches of the mountains, namely, those accursed dragons.
That's right, the next adventure in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, is going to be Black Rock Mountain. Nobody saw it coming. Well, maybe we saw it coming a little bit. Kevin, what do you think? Black Rock Mountain, awesome, okay. What do you think?
I mean, I have a certain bias, right? Because this reaches right back into the core of the original Warcraft experience, right? I mean, not even just World of Warcraft and how centered around the mountain it was when the game came out, but right back to the old school Blackrock clan in early versions of the first Warcraft strategy games. Like, this is all of what World of Warcraft and the Warcraft saga has been about. So, I mean, there's a certain level of excitement, I guess, to sort of relive that in the Hearthstone setting. In terms of how it's going to flow as an adventure, what it brings to the table, I think the challenge at this point is everybody looks at all of the options. If you've got any experience with Warcraft, with World of Warcraft, you've got all of these things you want to see them do, right? I'm sitting here just itching to see what they would do with Ice Crown, with Karazhan. You know, there's all these places that I want them to revisit in Hearthstone. So it's tough to dissociate that from what it means in terms of the game's design, how they can bring new archetypes into the mix. They did it really well with Mech in Goblins vs. Gnomes, and I'm really excited to see the dragon archetype get some love in this expansion, because it was part of the original game plan for dragons to have some actual interactions within the game. And that sort of got parked with some of the changes back in the early alpha. So fundamentally, I'm excited. If anything, I just wish there was more of it.
All right. So if you had to, in three words or less, you know, thumbs up, thumbs to the side, thumbs down, where are you sitting at right now?
Cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously. So 80% thumbs up. All right.
82.
I forget, you're a numbers guy. Well, JR, how do you feel? Is this the right thing? Are you excited about it? Do you want to do it?
On a scale of 1 to 10 on being surprised, with 10 being super surprised and 1 being saw it coming a mile away, I have to give it a 1. Even before it got data mined. And it was just for the fact that they've been going for this going back to their roots thing. They did it with World of Warcraft. They're pushing out the Warcraft movie, which is going back to that time as well. With WoW's 10-year anniversary, it only made sense that, hey, we're going to do Blackrock Mountain, because that's what everybody remembers in the vanilla WoW days when they're first playing World of Warcraft. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. There's definitely some other adventure modes that I would probably like to have seen before Blackrock Mountain. But from the little bit that we got to mess around with at PAX and a little bit the cards that we've seen revealed so far, I feel pretty good about this adventure mode, and I'm curious to see what other cards are going to be coming. I'm actually really excited for dragons and to build a dragon deck that is probably going to be cool, at least to play. May not be awesome in ranked, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've got to say, I think I really agree with you on this. And I don't think Kevin was saying anything different. Going back to the roots has been a very successful venture for Blizzard. We saw it with Warlords of Draenor, seeing, you know, back up above 10 million again. So clearly people are wanting that that classic love a little bit. And I think they're going for the same thing here with Hearthstone. I think you're exactly right. Dragons are going to be incredible. I'm excited to see Brian Kibler in his dragon suit playing a dragon deck that would actually be good on as a deck alone and not just being, you know, his skills compensating for the badness of the deck. I love red stuff and lava and things like that too. I was thinking the whole time, just like the fires of Mount Doom. I'm a Lord of the Rings guy. So, and it was before my time in World of Warcraft. I got going in Wrath. So I didn't really get to play that kind of stuff. So getting to go all the way back and not just one shot everything is going to be great. And doing it in Hearthstone is going to be just as fun. And, you know, on that note, there was actually some really incredible interviews this last week where the Hearthstone development team was out. Ben Brode was out doing some interviews, but my favorite interview this week was actually the Eric Dodds interview with Metabomb. And basically what he highlighted in this is Hearthstone team felt like Blackrock Mountain was right for the next adventure. They felt that Naxx was really cold, icy, mysterious. And then we had Goblins versus Gnomes, which introduced RNG. I mean, very lighthearted play with, you know, kind of some more fun archetypes. And now we've got Blackrock Mountain, which is kind of deep and serious and, you know, definitely not cold and icy and definitely not fun and playful. And, you know, we kind of alluded to it before that WoW's 10th anniversary, just a great timing for that. You know, we got to go back to Molten Core in Warlords of Draenor. Why not let us go back to Blackrock Mountain in Hearthstone? Do you guys think that this was the right choice? What did you want to see more, if not?
I mean, I was leaning pretty hard on the Karazhan dream, if only because from a logical perspective for myself, with all of the cards that were already in the base set that came from the Blackrock Mountain raid instance era, it to me felt a little bit contrived, I guess, that we're going to go fight Ragnaros when I, you know, he was the first legendary I busted open, you know, back in the beta. So there was something about maybe having some new content. And I feel like Naxx was a really great fit that way because there was a ton of stuff you could do. Lots of cool bosses, lots of neat mechanics, introduced some stuff we hadn't seen already. But it was all fresh, and we're going to go back now to a place that has Ragnaros and Baron Geddon and the Dark Iron Dwarves, and those things were all in the game already. So a part of me, a very small part of me, wanted something just totally tangential. Take a sharp left turn and show us something that isn't in the game in any way already. Other than that, no, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal fit. The excitement level at the panel at PAX was huge. I was sitting two seats down from Brian Kibler, and he was just Instagramming as fast as his fingers would let him type, man. It was great. He's excited. I'm excited. I think this is going to be tremendous.
Yeah, I have to agree with Kevin because I was also on the Kara hype train as well. Because it was such a fun and unique raid instance that I really, really want to see it brought over into Hearthstone and how they're going to translate that instance, because it had some of the most memorable boss fights that you've seen in World of Warcraft. I mean, you had the chess event and the opera event, and I want to see how those play out in Hearthstone. And that's really what I wanted to see. But Blackrock Mountain, you know, it once again brings me back to the beginning of World of Warcraft. And, you know, that was one of my first real raids back then and that I got to play. I actually got my 10-year anniversary statue, my nerd trophy, as I call it, that they gave out to people that had WoW subscriptions the whole way through. So I've been playing for a while, so it's kind of nice to have those nostalgia glasses and see where things go in Hearthstone. But I really want to see Karazhan as well.
So you guys are saying Karazhan. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Not that I don't want to see Karazhan. I do. Karazhan is no doubt, you know, an incredible instance, but don't you think right now Hearthstone is new enough and popular enough and people like the game enough that if you introduce what everybody wants right away, you know, what happens in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road when they need something to keep people engaged, especially people who aren't, you know, it's really tough to drop $50 or $25 on packs and hope you get a legendary, maybe two, three if you're a god. And then all of a sudden now you're, you know, kind of throwing people what they want. Do you think that maybe this was just a little bit more safe play saying people are still going to love this, but let's hold those Lich Kings, those Karazhans. I want to see an Ulduar as well. Do you think that they're maybe holding those on to when maybe they need it?
I don't think so, no. I mean, fundamentally, when it comes down to it, I think the thing that we forget and the thing that's really hard to kind of wrap your mind around is, and even you, John, have said yourself, a lot of the people playing this game don't actually have any background in the rest of the Warcraft universe, right? They didn't play early World of Warcraft. There's only, what, a couple million people that experienced vanilla World of Warcraft at the time that it mattered, and only a tiny fraction of those people actually did that raid content. Been there, done that. I didn't get the nerd trophy, but I was definitely there that whole time.
Just a couple million, huh?
Just a couple million. Well, but compare that to the size of Hearthstone, right? Hearthstone, in less than a year, celebrates 20 million players, blows up astronomically. Most of the guys I know who play Hearthstone didn't ever touch World of Warcraft, much less any of the earlier Warcraft RTS trilogy or any of the other things that sort of would have given them that visceral nostalgia goggle thing you're talking about. The core audience for this game doesn't really have that nostalgia value attached to it. They didn't play Karazhan either. They're just people who like the card game for what it is. So I think when they're designing content at this point, it's just what's cool, what's fun, what can we do that's going to be exciting, what's going to shift the meta, what's going to be awesome from an art design perspective. Because let me tell you, they're spending way more time and way more energy making their games look awesome, putting together just the most beautiful art style now.
So I got to ask you then, did you guys play Black Rock Mountain at PAX East?
They only let us try the very first boss. We got access to the normal and heroic versions of the Grim Guzzler. Very cool, very neat fight. I think people are going to have a lot of fun with it. I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to get into the mechanics, but I'm personally thinking they've really upped the ante in terms of making it into that like kind of puzzle solving mode that everybody was jonesing for so hard.
How about the How about the board? The game board?
Beautiful, man. Crazy. And every time they make a new one, they take even bigger leaps. I mean, the originals are cool. You get Stormwind, that kind of stuff, and it's fun. But no, I mean, the Naxx board was a great move forward. The GVG board was awesome. And I've heard all kinds of stories about little kids who want, you know, to jump onto their parents' iPads just so that they can turn the little laser beam and fire the rocket up. They don't care about the card game. They just love the interactions on the board. And I'm 100% sure BlackRock's going to be the same way.
Yeah, little kids want to do that. Mm-hmm. Just little kids.
That's what I said. Come definitely, on, man.
Definitely not me.
Not grown-ass man.
I just wanted to say on there, though, that the I was surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised, but Hearthstone wasn't on the PAX East floor, either on the exhibitor floor. We actually had gotten invited to a little special event where we got to play it, and they had it there. So that was a nice surprise to go to PAX East, be disappointed that Hearthstone wasn't there, and then show up to this event and be like, oh, hey, I can play it now and see what's going on. And I'm with Kevin. If you want to be spoiled, I do have an article about my experience with the mechanics and everything. You can go read that. If you're interested in it. But I will say that the theme behind it and everything, they've done a good job at transition. If you enjoyed Curse of Naxxramas, you're going to enjoy Black Rock Mountain because it definitely has the same campy feel to it. So it's fun. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, speaking of PAX East then, I mean, just generally, I mean, you guys were both there. I wasn't. I was stuck here making sure that my room/studio doesn't blow up into a molten core-esque catastrophe. How was it? I mean, just go ahead and tell us about how it was.
This was my first time at PAX East. It's the second time I've been to a PAX event. I went to PAX Prime in 2008, I was really, really surprised at how big it was, and how much the Penny Arcade Expo like brand has taken off in 7 years. Because the PAX Prime I went to is very much a community feel to it. This was much, much bigger. I was a little, like I said, I was a little disappointed with what Blizzard had there, although they had Overwatch, and that was one of the big reasons why I went this time, because I did want to check out Overwatch again and get to play the new characters and whatnot. But I was disappointed that I didn't get to play, you know, Hearthstone or on the floor. They didn't really have a lot of the Hearthstone team members on the floor to talk to either. All they had was some community managers for Heroes of the Storm and then the Overwatch people. The event was fun. If you're going there just for Blizzard-related things, you probably won't enjoy it as much because it's definitely not a BlizzCon. It's not meant to be a BlizzCon. But if you enjoy tabletop games, RPGs, anything else, it's a blast.
You mentioned BlizzCon, and this is a great time to talk about it really quick. We actually saw BlizzCon announced November 5th and 6th. Tickets go on next month. 6th and 7th. Oh, man. Good call. 6th and 7th. Tickets go on next month. They're going to go off in two batches. Looks like a Wednesday evening and a Saturday morning-ish in the U.S. Tickets $199. Are you guys going? Have you guys already booked your hotel?
Hotel's bought and paid for. I won't miss it. I mean, if I don't get a ticket, they're going to have to stop me at the door.
What about Ditto. You, JR? Yep, both you guys are good.
The hotel's already paid for. Actually, it's not paid for, but I have it reserved. I just need to get a ticket at this point, which even if I don't get one, I'm going anywhere anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I've never been to a BlizzCon before. I don't know if I'll make it this year, but if I do, I'll probably be crashing on one of your guys' floors. So thanks for the offer. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Eric Dodds actually brought up something really interesting as well in his interview. He started talking a bit about how the team designs new cards. Basically what he said is, that the team rarely, at least definitely from the start, ever uses the vanilla test. Kevin, what is the vanilla test, for people who may not be familiar with the term?
The basic concept of the vanilla test, or I mean, whatever you want to call it, but that's the name we've been using for it, is how standardized stat allocations work. So how much health and damage should you get on a standard minion for a set amount of mana? Or for that matter, how much damage should a spell do for a set amount of mana, depending on whether it targets a minion or the hero or both. There's sort of a flat set value of how much healing you can get from a spell for 3 mana points, right? And that test we use as a way to evaluate cards that punch above their weight class or are weaker than you would expect based on their cost. But it's not actually, I don't think, really core to their design philosophy, like you were saying.
This is kind of interesting. Eric Dodds goes on to say that the team is just going to start with a cool concept for a card, and they basically send it to their development team, have them balance it, play test it, balance it, and repeat. JR, this process, how do you like it? I mean, for me personally, I feel like that's probably why we have such crazy cards right now. It's like, let's come up with the idea, and then we'll find a way to balance it. What do you think about it? Is there any downsides to doing this?
Well, it's a pretty normal way of doing anything, especially in software development. I mean, if you listen to Blizzard a lot, you hear them use the term iterative and using the iterative process. And that's basically what this is. And so what he's referring to with the iterative process, it allows him to kind of just, as you said, quickly put out creative ideas and see if they're going to work or not, and allows them to kind of keep tweaking it until it feels right. And it's really a great approach for, you know, a card game like this, especially digital and especially with individual cards, because honestly, There's very little downside, actually, for doing it this way, because you get feedback very quickly. You can make changes on the go, which then allows you to develop faster and kind of get that feel that you want. The only real downside is for like large, what this is for like large projects. So think of it as like having this huge idea and going down that path, and you keep changing it and changing it until like many months later, you just realize it's just not going to work. This has been in games like WoW and Diablo before. You know, WoW, we had the promised Dan Studios in the Path of Titans, and Diablo, we had, you know, promised PvP and the Runestones in Diablo 3. And those were huge features that had been said to been coming, but after iterating through them, it became apparent that they weren't for the game, so they got axed. So something like that could be very costly, not just in terms of money, but also time spent and disappointing fans of the games that were looking forward to those features. So for something smaller like Hearthstone and individual cards, it's not costly like it is for those style of games. It could be for things like if they were working on adventure mode and then found out that it wasn't going to work out later on in the design process, that would have been costly. But for individual cards, not so much.
Kevin?
I mean, I hearken back to when they made the formal external announcement that Titan had been canceled. And the phrase they use, and it sticks with me, is they couldn't find the fun, right? Hearthstone is a game where the design space, because it's a digital platform, because they've really made a point of making the mechanics simple, intuitive, easy to pick up and understand, it's important for the game to be fun before it's important for it to be genuinely competitive. And I'm not saying that to say that I don't think the game is balanced or that it can't be played by professional players in a competitive space, but they're making cards that are going to be cool. They've got a whole team of artists and animators lined up who want to do fun things. And honestly, the game's appeal is how watchable it is. The game's appeal is that it's a hugely popular streaming title, by far Blizzard's most popular title as a streaming game, that everybody's looking up crazy YouTube videos, that when you see somebody do something really crazy with Reincarnate or Brawl or Whirling Blades or any of these cards that just interact with the board in unique and crazy ways, like, that's what's fun about the game. So am I shocked that they make something cool and then sort out the numbers later? Not at all. I think that's the only way they could make the game the way it is now.
So let's contrast this for a second. Now, I've heard, I'm not a Magic guy. I don't have the money to get into it at this point. But we do have our resident Magic expert in Mr. JR. So JR, are these cards, in your opinion, more fun than a lot of the cards in Magic? I hear, and I've just heard, that a big part of Magic is, while the game itself is fun, there's, you know, very little, you know, exciting aspects about the cards versus like a Ragnaros, where, you know, today we saw in the ESL tournament, we saw Ragnaros, you know, 3-1 shot face to win the game twice. It was so exciting. I mean, Life Coach, I love the Life Coach's reaction the best. That stuff is really fun. Do you see that type of stuff in Magic, or is it definitely way more prevalent in Hearthstone?
It is way more prevalent in Hearthstone because they have an advantage of being a digital card game, so that things like RNG with Ragnaros and those kind of things that can happen on the board that create stories like the one you just told is more likely to happen than you would see in a Magic the Gathering game. If that had happened in Magic the Gathering, what would have happened is they would have argued about what happened right then and there, and then they would have had to bring a judge over, kind of figure it out on where everything was placed on the board, and it's more of a hassle than anything, and it's just... So with it being a digital card game, it has the advantages of, you know, having those big moments without remembering those moments instead of the moment of, well, we just spent 5 minutes arguing about how this was really going to play out, which is, with a physical card game, is unfortunately what you do have happen.
The physical card games are deck building games, right? Like Magic, right, and Soulforge and Ascension and all these. They're deck building games. They're games about how can I put the cards in the deck. Hearthstone has that element, but it's about how do I play the cards? How do I use the board state to my advantage? That's the exciting part of Hearthstone. Building a deck in Hearthstone, honestly, is the least interesting part of the game. It's a means to an end. It's something you got to do. It can be really cool to see your own creation work, but you're doing it to get back in the game to the part that's awesome.
Yeah, and Magic the Gathering, like the whole point of building the deck is to make it as quickly and efficient as possible. And you do that a little bit in Hearthstone, but it's not as important as it is in Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering is very, very important to get those decks tuned exactly right, because the only real RNG that you really play with in Magic the Gathering is the cards that you draw.
Interesting. So something really interesting, too, that Eric Dodds brought up in his interview, I'd like to know your guys' thoughts on, is they're said right now they're not currently planning on putting it out on console, but they're not opposed to the idea either. Would you guys like to see it on console? You know, for me, I don't know how the controller would work, but imagine that, you know, being seen with Kinect, right? Where you can just kind of like swipe the cards onto the board and place it. Do you think there's a place for that, a Hearthstone on console? Or do you think between iPad and Android tablets, computers, very soon, phones, do you think that maybe console is pushing it a bit?
It just doesn't seem like it's a necessary fit. I mean, understandably, there would maybe be value in just increasing the number of ways people could interface with the game, but I think in a lot of ways it's the wrong audience. The platform doesn't really lend itself to microtransaction style games. There's still lots of barriers to inter-platform multiplayer. So would it be cool? Maybe. Is it worth the resources to do it? Probably not. Do I actually think it's likely? Honestly, no. I mean, Blizzard's console development, such as it exists today, is basically having ported Diablo over for the PlayStation and subsequently making that a console game, because frankly, the console controls for Diablo were probably better than the PC ones. I mean, there was talk of StarCraft Ghost back in the day. There was a copy of StarCraft on the Nintendo 64. Like, they've been in the space, they've dabbled, but it's not what they're good at. It's not where their expertise lies. And I don't think it's a part of the design philosophy for this game. Not at all.
I will say, though, that they did build it in, they built Hearthstone with Unity as the framework that they built it with. So that it could very easily be brought onto consoles. But I'm with Kevin on that. I don't see it being a console game. I would much rather play it on my touch device, on my phone or tablet, or on my PC. Maybe on my DS, but I have my phone, so I don't really see that as being needed either. But who knows?
Well, you guys can sit at your uncomfortable computers while I'm sitting on my couch on my Kinect, swiping cards away and Ragnaros one-shotting you in the face, and then we can talk about who's having more fun.
You know what I'm excited for is Windows 10 with that whole, like, you know, the whole visual thing that they showed off like a few months ago, where you had like the panels with the screens, and then you can kind of use the windows like you're on Minority Report or something. I want to play Hearthstone like that.
Nice.
Cortana, play my Sylvanas.
Exactly. I want to play Hearthstone like that.
First-person Hearthstone could be really interesting. Imagine, you know, tilting down about 45 degrees, actually, like you're in the table and actually able to virtual reality your cards in. Come on, Oculus, Windows 10. I don't care which virtual reality headset this is going to make it work on. I want it to happen. So, with that iPhone, we got to see, I guess an Android too, we got to see the user interface, well, at least where it's at currently. It's currently in an internal alpha for the user interface for Hearthstone for mobile phones. What'd you guys think about that? Think it looks pretty great?
Tough call. I mean, I have an iPhone 5S because I don't actually like the form factor of the newer ones. And for myself, I mean, I look at that screen and I think it's going to be a little bit painful to play it on a screen that small, no matter how you slice it. The user interface demos that they showed off, very cool. The button placement makes total sense to me. I think fundamentally, though, if it were me analyzing what this is for, this is not a new market for them. They're not going to get players on phone who don't already play the game. They're going to get people who have the game, who have built their decks on PC, who have bought their collections on their iPads, and now they have the option to play the game on their phone. Trying to sit and navigate the card collection to build a deck on a little 4-inch screen, not a chance. Like, I'm not doing that. But if I can play it on my phone while I'm sitting on a bus or a subway or something, yeah, by all means, that's going to be, it's going to be hard to put it down.
Well, there's, I mean, if you look though, there's a lot of card games in the top 100 for games on iOS. And I mean, they're doing it on phones, you know, Blizzard's going to do it. They're arguably going to do it better than those guys. I don't know. I'm going to kind of agree with you, but I think I'm going to kind of disagree with you too, in that people are going to see Hearthstone for phone in those top charts. They're going to download it. They're going to play it. That's where I disagree. I think that they are going to download, and we're going to see a lot of first timers. My worry is that you're right. It isn't the true experience that we've seen on PC and on tablet. And because of that, I'm worried it might deter some people from, you know, wanting to keep playing it in the future. Researching, there's going to be a lot of people who, you know, aren't going to know that it's on PC or on tablet, which could be really weird. But I am looking forward to my free pack when I download it onto my iPhone, because a free pack is a great pack.
Especially if it has like Dr. Boom or something in it. But yeah, I had an interview though with the Hearthstone team last August when I went out to Blizzard headquarters and got kind of an impromptu interview there. And I actually got to talk to Ben, who's the lead artist there for the team. And I brought up about the UI design for phones back then. And I asked him if it's going to be difficult kind of to be able to do because of all, not only the screen sizes, different screen sizes, but also all of the different devices, especially for Android. And if, you know, the things like that, that they'll have to take into account for. And he said, absolutely, that's going to be difficult to do. But he hoped that the UI won't be any different from the PC version. So they probably spent a good amount of time trying to make sure that it wasn't that different and all still felt the same as what we're used to. But it's also obvious that they had to take into account those smaller screen sizes and make changes. But I'm curious to kind of how the gameplay looks on phones, because I don't remember seeing gameplay on the screenshots that we looked at. It seemed like most of what we got were menus and things like that. So I'm curious how the gameplay is going to look.
Well, I mean, they did show the board though. They showed that, you know, you've got kind of a smaller looking circle for a card, but the numbers are nice and big in each corner. And they get smaller the more cards you have on the board. So basically, you know, when you're playing Druid, you're going to be able to see everything great, except when you run that combo and fill up your board. But besides that, you know, things, you know, are going to look great. You know, I thought that was something that was really smart that Blizzard did, where they said, you know, things are going to adapt in size based on how much time, you know, how much space you need. You know, and the numbers, let's make them bigger. The portraits, let's make them a little bit smaller. You know, yeah, it isn't quite as pretty. And then they also have, it looks like they're not doing, and I'm sure I'm wrong on this, but it looks like they're emphasizing more, like when the tablet first came out and you kind of had a battle cry that would affect another minion, how you didn't just drag and drop like you would on a PC. It just highlighted the targets and kind of made them pop off the board a little bit. Looks like that's going to be kind of their main targeting system on the phone, which I also thought was really smart. But, you know, also it feels a little less interactive. I wonder how they're going to incorporate, if at all, those kind of swipes and things like that that you do on a tablet, or those drags on a computer.
I mean, I think they've solved for it in a lot of ways. If you look at the screenshots that were up from the PAX panel, the placement of the mana crystals is really clever. They've tried to really maximize the amount of board state that's still available for you to play with. Honestly, the only thing that to me is sort of questionable at this point, because the presentation they were doing was all still images, is did they dial down some of the animations and effects to account for phone battery life and how much drain it would put on the visual processors in that wide variety of devices. I think there's probably a few things that need to be toned down a little bit to be viable in that space. Other than that, I mean, I think, like you say, the drag and drop effects, the targeting mechanisms that were introduced to make it playable on touch devices, if anything, were actually better and more intuitive than the original PC build. And I think that makes perfect sense and will carry over to the phone actually very effectively.
Hmm.
And I have actually gotten to play Hearthstone on my phone. Granted, it was a modified version of the tablet that I was able to bring over on my phone, which is also completely, you know, good in terms of service-wise. It's fine to do. So just putting that out there. It's playable. It's, you know, it doesn't have the fancy phone UI that is going to come out for the phones, but it's still very much playable on at least a bigger screen size. I have a Samsung Galaxy S5, which, you know, has a pretty big screen. So, well,
just kidding.
I don't see it being playable on a little iPhone. That's for sure.
Not my 6 Plus, my friend.
Well, if you have that, yeah, then I agree.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
I wonder how many people are going to be angry at us at starting in an Apple versus Android war on our first podcast. Hopefully not too many, but
more listeners, right?
Hopefully. Something that was really interesting as well, and I know you guys are going to want to go off on this, so let's keep it short here. There was also a point that Eric Dodds made that currently there's no plans on bringing players up to speed with their collections. A big thing that we hear about right now is that free-to-play players, in order to get into the game, have to sink an ungodly amount of time to catch up to players who have been playing since, you know, beta or, you know, initial launch and things like that. Now, Magic the Gathering kind of has a catch-up mechanism where, you know, tournaments will block off, previous expansions that are maybe 3, you know, or 4 previous to what's now, so that, you know, you don't have to worry about, oh man, that guy has a card from, you know, whatever year, 10 years ago or whatever, and you have to, you know, collect all that up. Do you guys think it's time yet for a catch-up mechanic type of thing? Or are you kind of in the thing where it's like, yeah, it's free to play, but if you want to play to, you know, win, you're going to have to put some money forward or quit your day job?
I mean, I think so. I sat with Eric Dodds at the after party at PAX, and we talked about this for quite a while. We sat there just chatting about the new player experience for probably an hour. And the thing he said to me that really resonated with me is they're really actually struggling to meet with people and get honest feedback about the new player experience. Internally, they've been working on this game now for 4 years. Externally, we've been playing it in some cases for 2. And it's really hard now with 20 plus million players and all these people out there that have been exposed to it. They have to go further and further afield to find somebody who hasn't actually played the game before and get a legitimate new first person perspective of what it's like to just touch the game for the first time and what that feels like and what it looks like as you try to build a card collection. I've done a lot of the math on for my day job with Icy Veins on, you know, how expensive it would be to complete a card collection, or, you know, just talking in like retrospectively about what things have done to make this game accessible as time has passed. Eric said they're open to lots of options. There's talk internally about eventually making it so that older adventure modes would just become part of the basic set, adding cards that were part of the original release back into the core basic class collections that are unlocked by leveling as opposed to unlocked by purchasing them. There's a lot of things they could do. They're very much aware of it. They're talking about it a lot. I think at this point, it's more that they have access to a lot of data that we don't see about transactions, how much money people spend on the game on average. They know when people are starting to walk away. They're going to see a huge bump in pre-orders with Black Rock Mountain. Long term, I imagine that as soon as they start to see any appreciable change there, they're definitely going to make some adjustments, whether that's free adventure modes, you know, free expansion, cards being added to the core collection. They've got a solution for it. They've got a dozen solutions available to them. They've just got to pick what they like and run with it when the game gets to that maturity point where it's required. And we're probably going to see that in the next year or so.
I was just going to ask you when you think that is. So you think it's going to be, you know, a year-ish and we're going to see some sort of catch-up mechanic?
I mean, I think you see one more legitimate expansion at BlizzCon. I think they've sort of established a pretty clear-cut pattern here, right? Back and forth between adventure modes and standardized expansions, depending on what other features get introduced or what, you know, new and exciting things they can do for us as the game client gets more complex. But that's my guess, is that by the time you get to a third adventure mode or whatever their next big announcement is in 2016, after we're on the other side of BlizzCon 2015, they have to have a plan for it by that point. And honestly, I'm sure they do now. They're just probably looking at it internally, running tests and deciding what makes sense.
So JR, 31 cards, is that enough to get us to BlizzCon?
Oh yeah. I mean, that was enough to get us to BlizzCon last year, right? So I think absolutely it's gonna be fine, because you're gonna see 5 weeks of meta shift every single week as they release these new cards like we did with Naxxramas, and then you're gonna see something happen with there, and then we'll start building up towards BlizzCon. But I wanted to say something that I felt was important with what Kevin was saying, is I don't think what I'm afraid of and that I feel they need to focus on is not just the new players that are now just starting out, but how about those new players that are afraid to begin because they can see, well, I've got this huge collection. There is no way I'm going to be able to catch up in this game anytime soon, so why am I even going to touch it? And I think that's a question that they should definitely be asking themselves as well, not just focusing on that new player experience, but a way to invite people in to show them that it's not as much of a grind as they think. Right now, that's tough because it is as much of a grind as they think. And they need a better way to show that to people, or a better way to do it, so it's not as much of a grind. Maybe it's increasing gold rewards or whatnot, but that's probably a conversation for another day, I'm sure.
Well, we do know that the phone release is going to come with a new tutorial as well, with kind of how the game works. So some sort of pseudo. So, I mean, to your point, that's not going to change the actual journey. You're still going to grind out 10 gold per 3 wins at a time, or hope you get really good at arena really fast and, you know, at least get some GVG packs and things going like that. But ultimately, those people who are wanting to stay free to play, it's going to be kind of difficult to get caught up. I mean, I wanted to go free to play for a little while. That lasted about 4 days. And then I went straight to the store and dropped 60 bones because, well, that's what I do with my money. And then I just kind of have those Filet-O-Fishes at McDonald's for the rest of the week. Yeah.
I have a coworker who went free to play, and he was able to do it all the way through Naxxramas. And as soon as Goblins versus Gnomes came out, he's like, I can't do this anymore. He just quit playing.
I think the meta, they with these expansions, it's designed to come to, you know, shift the meta. The meta shifts so quickly that it's, you know, it's really difficult to not, you know, be able to just jump right in, get all the cards, you know, and start, you know, finding out what the pros are doing with their deck archetypes and things like that to put something together.
I mean, that's why when I was talking to Eric about it, I really pushed the idea that making the older adventure modes go free, basically, like give people a chance to get Naxxramas free of cost if they sign up and start a new account or whatever. Because if you look at the way the card reward structure exists today, buying packs is fundamental to the way the game is designed. That has to be an option. People have to be able to do it because it's the only way the ecosystem works. but there's so many powerful cards in that Naxxramas set because they knew right away that if you got through the wing, you got all the rewards. And they made the normal modes intentionally pretty easy so that if you had paid the gold or the money to get a wing, you were going to get the cards pretty much guaranteed. Blackrock Mountain is going to be very much the same way. I think those kinds of rewards where they basically set them in front of you and said, you can have this. We're not going to make you work for it. Just take it. At some point, yeah, I mean, they're not obsolete. They're great cards. They've done a really good job of not introducing too much power creep. Let somebody who didn't get Naxx last year have it. At this point, it's been a year. People aren't racing to buy it. Let's just let them do it.
I dropped 25 bones on that expansion, though. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah, but I mean, that argument applies to every game that ages, right? I paid... I don't want to talk about it, but I paid a lot of money for each World of Warcraft expansion and my subscriptions and all my transfer fees. And now you can sign up and start playing the game for nothing. You can buy just the current expansion. StarCraft's going to be the same way. You can just buy Legacy of the Void and jump right in when that comes out later this year. Like all of these games, it's only the current stuff that costs money. It's only the most recent parts that matter. So Hearthstone fundamentally is going to probably evolve to that exact same place.
Okay, Eric Dodd's best friend, new best friend.
He's a nice guy.
Any more highlights? Any more tidbits you can give us?
I mean, honestly, not really. They on the heels of a big announcement like that, at this point, they're just content to sort of sit back and let us enjoy it. I think they're really excited for people to get their hands on it. Even all the people who were there that night, they were all like coming over and like, did you play the first boss? What did you think? Is it fun? Did you like it? Like, they're really excited about having more content out in front of us. I don't think they're hurting for ways to add more content to the game or make it fun. If anything, honestly, I would bet you anything that they're sitting back in the office going, we've got the next 10 adventure modes that we want to put out. We've got 100 card ideas just sitting on somebody's desk. Like, they would put it all out tomorrow if they could. It's pacing themselves. It's going to be the hard part.
Hopefully we don't get another, 18 months of Siege of Orgrimmar in Hearthstone. That would be brutal. So, wow, guys, we hit an hour already today. Let's go ahead and wrap it up a little bit. And what are you guys up to this week? JR, what are you doing this week that we can look forward to hearing about next week? We should keep our eyes out for what's going on.
So things have kind of started settling down for me a bit because of PAX East, and then I had another convention here in Kansas City this week. I was sick all last week. So I'm hoping to get back into the ladder, playing ranked. Right now I'm at rank 9. I'm going to try to make a push towards Legendary, probably end up rank 5, I'm sure. But I'll probably be streaming some of that today or this week on twitch.tv/blizzpro. And, of course, we've got Heroes Power Hour, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on twitch.tv/twizcast, which I am a co-host on. So if you like Heroes of the Storm and want to watch that, come check me out Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Central.
Twiz is incredible. I'm taking notes out of his book all the last couple weeks. So big shout out to Twiz. What about you, Kevin? What are you doing this week?
Honestly, I mean, work's a zoo and there's a lot going on. Covering all the Blizzard stuff for Icy Veins, so I'm going to be doing a lot of work looking at the timetable for BlizzCon, what people can expect coming out of that, making a lot of plans for the show and how things are going to shake out down there. A lot of things moving and shaking in the StarCraft world, which is where I spend a lot of my time. Intel Extreme Masters World Championships wrapped up today. KT Rolster Zest was the champion there, so I'm going to be talking to some people about that, looking at some of the replays. Might fire up the old stream machine and go through some of the highlight games, show people some of the stuff that was worth watching, and so I'll be rocking that if it works out over on twitch.tv/OdenTV, and the rest of the time, my Twitter's lit up like the 4th of July. I crested 500 followers this weekend, so I've got some giveaways planned this week. I got Hearthstone packs, Heroes skins, some Hearthstone magnets and merch that I'm going to be giving away this week. So super excited for that. Anybody who wants in, start watching my Twitter on Monday at Lack of Realism.
All right. And just so those who are listening to the podcast, that's Odin, O-D-I-N-N, two N's. Don't forget it. So that way you can go ahead and get there. For me this week, honestly, my life is a living zoo. I'm hoping to stream as well. I'm actually down to rank 4 right now. I've been running Paladin most of it, and then switched over to some Oil Rogue at around rank 6, which has been really fun to me. So I'm hoping to stream some more of that. You guys will get to hear all of our credentials again at the end of the show, which I'm really excited for because I worked really hard on that bumper. So I'm just
feel like we're all obligated to play Paladin now too. The Well-Met podcast. Like, am I allowed to play a different class anymore?
Yep. You know, it's true.
That's actually what I started playing today. So it's what I'm going to play all the way through. I'm going to get the Golden Portrait and everything. So right, we're Paladin legit. Season.
Well-Met. 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 Well-Met.
All right. Uther is here. He has given us his blessings. We will see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening in. And honestly, I think this has been a pretty fun show. So let's do a nice big applause for us. We did it. Month and a half in the making. Down to the wire, but we did it. So thank you guys again for listening in, and we will see you next week. Hey everyone, I just wanted to do a couple of thank yous before we sign off. First, we've had incredible talent who have donated their time and their efforts to make the show sound great. Hear that awesome theme song? That's Jake Butno. He's got incredible music on his website. You should totally check it out at jakebutineau.com. That's BUTINEAU.com. If you couldn't tell, that voiceover work was not me. A huge thank you and job well done to my personal friend, Casey Enns, who really brought the show to life. Lastly, you can get in contact with the show at wellmetpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter at wellmetpodcast. See you guys again next week.
You can find John on Twitter at @KickedTripod and on Twitch at twitch.tv/KickedTripod. You can find JR on Twitter at @Eldorian and on Twitch at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. And you can find Kevin on Twitter at @LackOfRealism. And on Twitch at twitch.tv/OdinTV. BlizzPro.com. Beyond Noob.